I believe, friends, that we're currently about to link up with Erith Radio, and from Belmullet in County Mayo, and it is only fitting indeed that as we link with Erith Radio in Belmullet in County Mayo, that we might have a very famous Belmullet girl, lady, who has made her fame and has brought fame around the world, from Belmullet to the United States. Mary McGonigal, as she sings The Boys from the County Mayo, Flannelly Show, live from New York. Hearted men from the County Mayo, and that's where we are, I believe, right now. We are linking with Ian McAndrew, host of Erith FM radio station in Belmullet in County Mayo. Ian, you're very welcome to the program.
Thank you, Adrian, and great to be with you.
It is said that if a short distance there from Belmullet, if you walked out towards the cliffs and you looked across, you know, on a bright day, and you had a fairly lively imagination, you'd be standing at the closest point to New York, right there and then, you know?
You would indeed, Adrian. Yes, we look on three sides from the town of Belmullet here, right out on the Atlantic. And the immigration ships that left Saline Harbour many, many years ago, the shortest crossings in post-famine times was from Saline Harbour at Binghamstown, Belmullet, across to your fair country. Mary McGonigal's homestead looks out on the same bay, and the same body of water. And in fact, her nephew, who's up in Cape Cod, has just contacted us to say great to hear her across the internet being played on your station today. But yes, we are the most westerly point. Valentia would claim in Kerry to be further, but technically they're an island.
Yeah.
You can drive on out to it, but they're an island. So if you take
the
island,
she wouldn't believe half what they say down there anyway. But that's
oh no, no, any crowd that calls themselves a kingdom in this day and age down there, you know,
right?
Yeah. I think they should.
And
they should cede with Brexit.
Yes, they. Well, I wouldn't go that far, but I would say, though, we'll take the edge off them with the Sam Maguire. This is our year, anyway.
That's right. They've why would something to our tree. They have enough.
Yeah.
Well, it's a good day to start on Mayo Day. We should start planning for it now, actually. But, of course, it all kicks off tomorrow in your great city with Leitrim over there.
I know. And it's fantastic. And, indeed, Cora Finn had their team here last week, too. Let me talk to you a little bit, though, about the barony of Erith.
Yes.
And I say that indeed because I have more, as you know, I am from Attymath, part of the Ox Mountains.
Oh.
And if you wanted to make a day trip to Belmullet, you'd have to have your porridge early in the morning if it was, in fact, it was a day trip. But we were lucky along the way as Flannelly's because when Ostone Thing opened, the managing director was my late brother, Enda Flannelly, in Gisala, over the road from you. But tell us about the barony of Erith itself and its significance.
Yes. Yes, indeed. I remember Enda well. My own wife is from right beside the hotel in the village of Gisala, and he's a lovely man. He opened at that time in honour of the playwright John Middleton Singh. But it's a mystical land, Erin. It's fair to say it's the size geographically of County Louth, hence your porridge early in the morning to get around it all in one day. It's five huge parishes of Ballycroy, Kilcommon Erith, Kiltane, Balmullet, and Kilmore Erith. And people refer to it as the Erith Peninsula. We are one of the ancient baronies of Mayo in that on our famous crest of, and for Mayo Day we're celebrating all of Mayo, we have seven yew trees and they're meant to symbolise the seven ancient baronies. Bardashul would be another one, Tiraulie another one. But we are very, very proud of the Erith one. Our ancient history goes back to Cage Fields, the oldest settlement found in Europe, of human settlement and of the remains of farming and organised walls and houses, etc. And we stretch all the way across the Atlantic Ocean on our west-hand side. And we're bordered on the eastern side as you go out towards the crossing line of Ballinaz, Castlemars, and Westports by mountain, bog, lake and river. So we have it all in our scenery-wise. But, of course, that comes at a price. And hence so many of our immigrants had to leave Erith because it's such a dispersed rural area.
Yeah.
But happily, those days are over. It's a magical place in that ancient folklore of the children of Lir rhyme with ancient Christianity. St. Brendan, before he set off to your country, stopped on Inishlora, whom the Arts Centre in Balmullet is called after, and the children of Lir were there for 300 years as well. So right up to modern days, Balmullet being the focal point for the entire barony, the secondary schools, as you would call high schools, feed into Balmullet town. We've two very vibrant schools, a huge primary school, and all of the services associated with a rural regional town. The days of having to go to Ballina or Castlebar for a lot of the services are thankfully gone. We have decentralised the county council, so to pay your local property tax or your vehicle tax, you don't have to go 50 miles and 50 miles home from Castlebar. So, musically, traditionally, Agusan Gaeilge. We're very, very proud of our Gaeltacht heritage. Tá cúpla áitina fáice I gceantar Irish fós sin a bhfuil an Gaeilge go láidir, that the Irish language is still the spoken language go mór mhór in the Ochlim Fódú area, the Ochlim Bleacsod area, agus síos a Ceara Thaig agus Ros Dua in the Ceara Thaig and Rossport areas. So I know that a lot of your listeners of Erith extraction listening to your show, and I know you're very, very popular going since 1970, it was Cogorgibus. That's a long, long time to be broadcasting to the people of New York and the Irish community. But there's a lot of them that will have in their DNA still the native tongue. And people who went to schools in those areas would maybe like on this Mayo Day to hear the Cúpla Focal.
Well, I have said many times, of course, that by this time next year, a couple of Mayo people here will be celebrating 60 years. Oh my God.
A long time.
60 years in America, including a very well noted, hard working Ballina man who has made his mark in the cultural promotion of Mayo, John Garvey. Remember Garvey's Bakery, maybe in Ballina.
Yes.
But there are many of us who had a great. A great control of the Irish language. Unfortunately, through the decades, and particularly since you are a Gaeltachta, I wouldn't dare take you on with any of that. However, we find ourselves here, slipping in Gaelic words. Which still brings the reaction of, excuse me? There are so many Gaelic words that we have all, brought with us, and in spite of ourselves, we let them slip. But you, an Irish language, not only a speaker, but who has promoted the Teanga Gael, the Irish language. Was Mayo, was Belmullet, was the Erris area, was that, was never considered a Gaeltacht area. However, many of the people, if we go back to the famine and the pre-famine, the language would have been Irish Gael, the Gaelic language.
Yes, the language is under pressure, and the Gaeltacht in Erris is a bit fragmented. As I said, it's a huge geographical area, and traditionally it was always weaker in certain areas of it. The same is true in Connemara. This idea that everyone in Connemara is Irish as a first tongue isn't right. Very little Irish in Kilton, for instance, the biggest town in it. So Erris was much the same, but of course in famine times and immigration times, right up to the 1920s, Irish would still have been the first language. But as you said, it's in the DNA of people, and the revival that is trying to take place here in Ireland has been phenomenal, not just inside the Gaeltacht. I mean, one of the biggest modern rises has been the rise of Gaelscoileanna. That is up and down the country, right into the heart of the cities, parents choosing to send their kids through the Irish medium schools, and there's huge waiting lists to get into those schools. So it's seen anymore, and T.G. Cahir has contributed, that's the Irish language television station, which is about 12 years on the road now. That has contributed greatly in making Irish cool again. I think as well the GAA revival, Cumann Lough Class Gael, when you see St. Vincent's winning and Dublin winning and hundreds of thousands with Dublin jerseys, it's a phenomenal that wasn't there in the old days. The GAA, the Irish language, and perhaps the Catholic Church was viewed as old-fashioned and old stuff. Mm-hmm. Not anymore. Whatever about the Catholic Church, and they'll have to speak for themselves. But the GAA, particularly in Mayo here, and the Irish language is in a revival, and long may it last. In your own city, some of the younger immigrants, if you go to the Tara Lounge in Brooklyn with Lynn McGoldrick and her staff, it's all off Gaelge. She's from the Black Sod area. And if you go up to Woodlawn any night of the week and you meet Brendan Monaghan and you meet all the McGoldricks and you meet Sheila Monaghan and you meet the Erris diaspora, as you said, they'll hear a lot of the excuse me's because they'll use the lawn fuckle Gaelge that they have to disguise what they're actually saying.
Now, for the benefit, since we are broadcasting worldwide on irishradio.com, I would like to, for those who are trying to remove wax from their ears, saying a couple of fuckle. That is a Gaelic word, and it has to do with. Well, explain yourself there now.
Yeah.
The couple of words.
The fuckle, Adrian. Yes, it's two words. Cupla is from the Latin and brought into English for a couple, two. So it's the cupla focal. When you make it the plural, the cupla, you're saying a few. So a few words. Focal, it doesn't sound like it sounds the English-speaking word, we hasten to add.
Yeah.
It's F-O-C-A-L,
right,
which is the Irish word for word. So cupla focal is a few words of Irish. Or if you used a French phrase, that would be cupla focal e Frankish in French.
Okay, and also
I'm glad we cleared that one up with the focal. Yes.
Yeah, highly especially, you know, when you clarified it for us and made it so much better by saying a few, a couple of fuckers. But anyway, never mind. I wanted to talk to you about, you're a lifetime member of the Gaelic Athletic Association, indeed you're a chairperson of the Belmullet GAA Club. The role and the game, the Gaelic Athletic Association games, did so much to bring people from the different counties in Ireland in particular. Considered a very parochial sport in the sense that, you know, if you joined a GAA club, particularly whether that was, you know, over in my section of the Ox Mountains, or over in Belmullet and the Erris, the barony of Erris, it was parochial, it was taken as a sport of pride. Winning was everything. Now, poor holes in that one, if that's the case.
Yes, it was winning is everything, and that was very parochial. And as you said, in Attie Mass, you'd have major, major battles with Bonnie Conlon to one
absolutely
side, Swinford to the other. And then, of course, the poor neighbours in Sligo to your back across Loch Talton. But in Erris here, it was tribal against all tribal. There used to be the old Erris League when I was a young, young guy. And not alone the five parishes that I mentioned makes up Erris, they would subdivide as well into Shra and Gisala and Dahuma, and Bangor Erris would have their own team, and Portathomish would have another team. So every little village that had a pub and a national school would divide from their own parish and go into this Erris League. And it wasn't for the faint-hearted. And not alone did fellas lose teeth and shin bones out on the field, but then in the local hostelry afterwards, everybody else on the sideline of the game tended to get involved. And that spilled over then to mass time the following Sunday, and so on and so on. Happily, those days are gone. The GA is run very, very professionally up and down the whole country now, and no more so than at Croke Park. It's a multi-billion pound industry worldwide. It unites the diaspora, and at home it unites us in, first of all, parish units, and then, of course, the county. And, you know, you saw your sister city, Chicago, the huge celebrations last year after a drought of 80 years. The drought in Mayo and the hunger for Sam Maguire, this mythical thing to your listeners across the world, come around September again, we hope to be knocking on the door. It unifies parishes, but it also unifies, I think, the sense of being Irish. There are, Adrian, I think, about three things that makes us unique to be Irish. We're primarily English-speaking, we're white, therefore why aren't we English? We have what the English doesn't have, our traditional Irish music, it's unique to us, the Irish. Our traditional Irish language, it's unique to us, the Irish. And Cumann Lough Class Gael, our camogie, hurling, handball and Gaelic football are unique to the Irish. So I think those three things define us as a nation, more so than our language or anything else. The fact that we have a unique language, our unique sport. And I think tomorrow with 5,000 or 6,000 people hitting out to Gaelic Park in your city is testament to that. From all over, every county in Ireland will be represented tomorrow, not just on the New York team, but on the Leitrim team going over. Everybody
absolutely
with a beating heart for Leitrim will be there as well.
Yeah, if anybody is visiting their friends, relatives in Leitrim tomorrow, make sure that they're not right here in Gaelic Park in New York, because that's another aspect of the tremendous, and we live and breathe, our own connections with Ireland. And that's not peculiar to, say, Mayo, except today is Mayo Day worldwide, and so let's stick with the county of the Sam Maguire 2018. And but the tremendous friendships, the prominence of a sporting attitude. You know, we were in spite of ourselves, because we don't have an agenda here. We don't mind taking friendly, tongue in cheek swipes.
Of course.
At places like Kerry and Dublin. But there's a passion there as well. We do like to put the best foot forward. But that brings me to your evaluation of hurling. There are hurling clubs and counties that pride themselves in the sport of hurling. Mayo wouldn't be up there in that bracket, would it?
No, we wouldn't, unfortunately. Galway flies the flag for the province of Connacht in hurling, and even that county is, you can divide it south, generally south for hurling, and north of the county for football. But yes, hurling is hugely popular, a great revival in Dublin.
Yeah.
Dublin hurling is now back in Division 1 and they're competing at the highest rate, and it's the fastest growing sport in the Dublin metropolitan area. The rise of the GAA, as I said, is phenomenal in the Dublin area. I was in Timpelogue, a very good suburb of Dublin, middle to upper class, as you would call them, for though, years ago. And they didn't have a GAA club of their own until 1978. Mm. And a group of parents came together and said, we should start a GAA club. It is now the hub of the whole community up there. And I was absolutely shocked. They were like ants out in the field the morning of under 12 training on a Saturday morning. They had something like 300 kids out swinging hurleys. So it is the ancient game of Cú Chulainn. It is the ancient game of Ireland. And while Mayo aren't at the top table there, there are little pockets like Tourine up beside Knock Airport that have kept the flag flying. A little bit of it in Castlebar, Ballinall, Rossfield's a team.
Yeah.
We would be down in Division 3 and 4. But as a nation, though, we all glued in on the first, always are, on the first Sunday of September because of the huge DNA innate feeling of being Irish on that day for the hurling final. And they've given us some of the most memorable games ever, and Galway's win last September was hugely proud for everybody here in the West.
I'd like my guest friends and a colleague and radio host in Erith in Balmullet, County Mayo. Before I forget it, I want to let you know that as a kid going into, as a child, going into the town of Ballina, before we crossed the River Moy, practically at all times of the year, you would see, or we would see, trucks, lorries, McIntyres of Balmullet, a great company that indeed it took the turf, the peat, the turf from your area and brought it into Ballina town, and it was indeed, it not only was it for the turf, but you had a great connections with the larger towns in days, as you had mentioned earlier, going to Ballina or across Malina or something, but that would be like a huge trek. But how did you had factories out there. What was employment like turn of the century? How digging back from the famine for your area?
Well, McIntyre's were an absolute credit. You're right. If you stop any place on the way to Dublin and you go in to any of the hostelries that are long established in Longford, etc., they will ask you always, oh, Balmullet McIntyre's lorries.
Yeah.
The yellow lorries of McIntyre's were phenomenal in across Ireland from east to west. There were a local family from the Inver area, and old Martin McIntyre set up his business at the turn of the last century, and the century before the last, if you understand me, early 1800s. And with the foundation of the town of Balmullet in 1824, before that the settlement more so was on Binghamstown, but Carter, a local landlord, and set up the town of Balmullet as we now know it, and McIntyre's were one of the first traders. But they grew huge and were huge employers, and you're right about the turf. With the shortages during World War II in particular of fuel, and imported coal was stopped, and as you know, we don't have any natural coal or very little of it in Ireland. Fuel was short in supply in Dublin, and it was all kept in England for the war effort. So McIntyre's started harvesting the turf here that provided work for the local farmers to cut more turf than they normally would, sell it to McIntyre's, and they ferried it to Dublin and sold it for fuel in Dublin. And of course, on the return journeys, every bag of cement, every plank of timber, any hardware, beer, stout, animal feed, human feed, flowers, food supplies, they brought back and sold in their various shops in Balmullet town. They were huge. Martin actually had a pub in New York, and there's a good lot of the family still
a
in
lot
the New
of
York
the family
area.
Yes, indeed. I don't want to start mentioning any names there, because there are a ton of McIntyres. And you know, for most people outside of Mayo, when they say a McIntyre, all I know is our ears, you know, perk up, because we say, hey, there's got to be a Balmullet connection there somewhere.
Martin actually has a pub on the main street, Martin the third, if not fourth, McIntyre fourth, I would think. Martin has ran in the family, and he owns the Clonlur Bar down on the main street here in Balmullet. And I know he's on the laptop down watching this, so big shout out to all of the McIntyres. You asked, Adrian, about industry. Industry, apart from McIntyres and that, was slack traditionally in Irish. Our natural resources, the quality of the land, meant an awful lot of people had to immigrate. But out of the congested district boards post-famine, they set up the knitting industry, the old Gaelta Éireann knitting industry. The same was true for Tor Macidi, the inland Gaelta in Mayo. And it gave an extra income that people could knit, primarily the women, but not exclusively so, but primarily the women would knit at home. Knit the Gamsies for the American market and for the tourist market in the bigger towns, and socks for working socks, etc. And that supplemented the income. The lay schools predated that. They came straight out of the congested district board to set up lay schools in the area. Since then, Gaelta Reardon arrived in the 1950s to develop the Gaelta regions of Ireland on a more firm basis and try to get foreign investment in. And I'm involved with Udrosna Gaelta, who is the modern telling of that. We were founded the same year as you started broadcasting, and our remit is to generate employment in the Gaeltacht regions of Ireland, as well as trying to preserve the Irish language and culture and heritage. Now, it's a chicken and egg. You cannot survive the heritage and language without people. Without jobs, the people immigrate, so they're not around to speak any kind of language. So it's a chicken and egg, and we have to have that balance always at Udrosna, that we try to assist homegrown industries if we can. The day of the big foreign investors from America, and that since the crash here in Ireland, with the uncertainty of Brexit, that's up in the air, and unless your economy improves, you know, the bigger, the multinationals from your country, the Facebooks and all that, those European headquarters, Google, are in Dublin, but it's in Dublin, 200 miles from us.
Right.
So the chances of getting them down to a rural area like Attymass or Erris is very, very distant. So you must try to encourage indigenous people to, you know, if they have an idea, a start-up idea, that to encourage and subvent those for a while with grant aid to try and get a few jobs going in the area. And we have been successful.
Yeah.
We have an electronics firm here that's 35 people employed in, and the rubber industry also locally owned, making cow mats, would you believe? For cattle and horses to be more comfortable lying down, and hence better milk yield, etc., from the cows.
Yeah.
They employ about 50 people here locally as well and export all over the world, including to Argentina.
You know, and my guest friend Ian McAndrew, who's host of Eris FM radio station, manager indeed of the Arts Center in Eris, and involved in such a range of community projects, clubs, and initiatives. You know, when you talk about projects and clubs and initiatives, that's the three in one. You kind of need all three if you're going to progress in any area, whether that's in culturally or in any other fashion. That is where the strength is, and whether that's in Belmullet or Animas or New York or Philadelphia, a lot of the areas, you know, that where people work hard. If you don't have opportunities, the traditional opportunities of making money and advancing yourself, you bloody well have to create and take what you have, which I think is the message that I'm getting from you, is that there's no point in bemoaning the fact. You just do what you have to do with, and yeah, you can tongue in cheek or seriously say that Dublin and Galway and Cork and Belfast and all of those areas have an unfair advantage. Begrudgery gets us nowhere.
Absolutely.
You know, so we do what we can do. And, you know, I also would like to point out that with the exception of a short stint in London as an immigrant, you were born, bred and buttered in Belmullet and in that area, and you have done extremely well, as have so many people. Didn't run away from, a traditionally hard life. And it is terrific as we look across the Atlantic on that imaginary bright day and look at Belmullet and the Eris, the barony of Eris, and say it's alive, it's well. And the significance of having, massive tourism, including, of course, from North America. There was a time when going to, whether that was, anywhere west of Cross Malina would have been a half a day's work and unpaved roads. But getting, whether that's to the Cajun Fields, which will be a topic for another day, where hopefully we will link up again. But getting now the coastal route, the Wild Atlantic Way, getting to areas that we only barely heard of is something that is absolutely, I think, fantastic. And people are learning, about areas. And since today is Mayo Day, let's restrict it to the promotion of Mayo. A great job being done all around. And it is a fascinating area, indeed, when you go west of Ballina, taking that route and right out to Belmullet. We have to end this for now, Ian, because we're getting our newscaster from County Wicklow. Hopefully he'll mention Mayo, or we'll hang up on him.
Yes.
Thank you, though.
Adrian, just before I go, yes, I'm conscious you're under pressure for time. Thank you very, very much. And from all in Mayo here in the Barony of Eris in Belmullet, just Eileen Borelli has been on to us from Philadelphia.
Yes.
Derek Ryan has performed there in June. So hello to Eileen and all in Philly.
Yeah.
Kathleen Murphy, Mary Greeny, Pamini Haig, Catherine Murphy, Patrice Margaret, Lindsay Gavin and all in Luton, UK. There's literally hundreds of people from all over the world, and we're under pressure from time to say hello to. But just to say thank you for having us on this lovely Mayo Day. Hopefully that we'll talk again at some time. Congratulations to yourself and your radio station, anybody that can stick Irish Radio Network USA since 1970 is fair work for one man. Thanks for your kind words about Eris and indeed myself. It was a pleasure talking to you, and from all of us on Shop in Gantar Irish, Balia Valen Wered, on the west coast of the most westerly parish on the mainland of Europe, we'd like to say hello and happy Mayo Day and good morning to you all. Thanks, Adrian.
Goramila Mahagut, Ian McAndrew, friends, a powerhouse and a great leader in the Irish Peninsula, we knew it was the Irish Peninsula, but from the barony of Erith in the most beautiful part of County Mayo. Okay, I was going to, actually, there's a tune called Erith from Rig the Jig, and as we try to link up here with Kevin O'Connor, let's play a little bit of that and wait if we don't get to finish it for Jesus.
We've seen it all before. Our fathers and their fathers have left these native shores. Though we hope for better times, here we are today. An illegal band in a foreign land, 3,000 miles away. So blow you winds from Erin across Belmullet shore, for the fishing days are over and the boats are safely moored. If they stop to listen, won't you tell them we're okay? We're working hard in New York, 3,000 miles away. I've seen them in the '50s, way off in Aberdeen, in the '70s in London, in a pub in Winston Green, in New York and in Boston, it's where we are today. Yet we still talk of others 3,000 miles away.
Okay, and with that, Hans, we're just going to have to put that on pause. Now, we're going to have the rest of the song right after the news and sports from Kevin O'Connor. And on this Mayo Diaspora Day, Mayo Day throughout the world, I want to welcome, first of all, a Limerick man,